Welcome back to the fun-filled second part of our dormant franchise sequels. We kind of pretty much did the ones... We did movies that came out in 2015. Who knew there were so many of them? And
all in like a month, too.
Yeah. All this summer, I mean... Yeah, it's insane to think about. And I also wanted to say, and I don't think we mentioned this the last time, there is a difference between something... A sequel, a specific sequel... And like a reboot or a remake.
Yeah.
So we're not going to talk about stuff like RoboCop. That was a reboot.
Well, we'll talk about it, but we just won't. It was not central to what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We'll mention it for sure.
But yes, that is a reboot. Same thing with, you know, like not necessarily a reimagining, I guess is the proper term. Like Dan mentioned last episode with something like Total Recall.
Mm-hmm.
But for actual sequels. There was another period of time, and this is the other type of sequel. We've mentioned before that some of these are done by, most of these are done for business reasons, because companies want these franchises that live on.
Yeah.
You have the other end, where it's actors, or a character who probably has had a rough stint in their career, going back to something that they know is a guaranteed hit, to kind of gain more shot.
And yeah, Tom Cruise.
And this happened a lot in the mid-2000s as a lot of 80 actors kind of transitioned into roles that just didn't do well for them. So we saw, there was a period of time where we saw a new Die Hard, with Ifrit and Die Hard,
mm-hmm.
which mm-hmm. I believe was something like 12 years after... Die Hard with a Vengeance. Die Hard with a Vengeance, wow. And it was just kind of, it was Bruce Willis' comeback. It was like, Bruce Willis, I've done all these movies, and he did very good movies in between there. There was like The Sixth Sense, which I think is the big one. He did Unbreakable, which is another superhero film for him. But,
quote unquote superhero film.
He did Sin City, which is a really good one.
That was an actual superhero, quote unquote.
Quote unquote. I mean, he had a pretty good career in between there, but at some point, it was just like, yeah, let's go back to the Die Hard well. And I think I speak for most people when I say I would have preferred if he stayed out of it.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think mm-hmm. it's fine to see him go into it now, though, and see him. Be like, yeah, I'm old, but I can still do it. And like, it's like, I don't like the new Die Hards, but it's like, ah, that's cute. You do your thing, Bruce Willis. I like that you're just doing what you want to do.
Yeah, but at the same time, it seems like he doesn't care.
Yeah,
he's kind of sleepwalking through it.
Yeah.
I mean, I mentioned like, but I think you know, I mentioned the gap between Die Hard with a Vengeance and Ifrit or Die Hard. But I really feel like the gap between Ifrit to Die Hard and A Good Day to Die Hard. Was more of his, like, yeah, nothing I'm doing is really sticking out, so I need to go back to this well again.
Yeah.
He did Planet Terror, he did Cop Out, Surrogate. Yeah, there's a lot of movies in between that time where it's like, yeah, I can understand why he needed a hit, and that wasn't a hit either. So,
right.
And they're working on another Die Hard, which he says is his final Die Hard. We'll see.
Yeah, well, exactly. I was going to say that. We'll see.
We've already kind of mentioned Arnold Schwarzenegger, and that Terminator Genisys was pretty much that for him, because, you know, he was the governor of California for a while, and he retired from acting in between that period. But once he got out of office, which a lot of people in California rejoiced about, he went back to acting, and a lot of what he did just didn't do anything. The Expendables is whatever, The Last Stand... I actually liked the Escape fan, but it didn't do too hot in the box office.
Is that the one with
Sylvester Stallone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember that existing, that's all.
Well, I remember it existing because it was like them selling it and like, here's the mashup of two of the biggest 80 icons. And
yeah.
Like,
I remember the ad campaign for it vividly, but I don't remember anything about it or when it even was. When did that happen?
What, it was like 2013?
Oh, yeah. See, I don't even remember that. I just remember the ad campaign for it.
Yeah, it was like, there was another one, there was another one, I forgot, it was like Robert De Niro and somebody else where they were like a grudge match or something. Like, it's like these two, it's like Raging Bull versus, I forget what it was, but it's like, it's building up like this anticipated fight between these two again, it was Sylvester Stallone, I guess.
The ultimate mashup.
Yeah,
anything.
Since I've mentioned him twice, I might as well. He was the king of this, because his career has stalled, and he had a lot of goodwill built up with two of his franchises, which he went back to in rapid succession in the 2000s, which was
actually one movie.
Well, two movies in a second. We'll get to that in a second, because that was another thing that came out in between our preparation. But yes, he went back to Rocky Balboa, which was really funny because we've mentioned before, like, having, you know, we mentioned with Terminator having these movies with finite time periods and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Rocky had a finite character in that Rocky was given brain damage in Rocky V. He can never box again, which was the story. And it's like, well, we're going to ignore that. He can box again. He's just old.
It's kind of like the Bruce Willis thing. He's old. Just let him do his thing. He's having fun.
Well, yeah. I mean, that was basically the story of Rocky Balboa. Is like he's old, but he can still go. So why not give him the option?
Yeah.
To keep going. And it's like, okay, whatever, Sai. I mean, you own the franchise. Go for it.
I was actually going to mention Rocky in last episode when we talked about the villains and how they changed and how Rocky is a weird example of not being like a spy or action movie, but it had that stereotypical, oh, the Russians are bad. Let's make the Russian the antagonist.
Yeah.
So it did evolve in the same way too, even though it wasn't a war movie.
And even though I think it was before Mayweather, but not before these characters existed. Rocky Balboa kind of had that cocky, and what would you say if you're a professional wrestling fan? That heel character, that boxer who was great and knew they were great and never let you forget that they were great.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was one of those films where it's like. I actually like Rocky Balboa. It's one of, I think it's one of the, well, I'm not going to say one of the better ones, but it's better than 5.
Was 5, which one was the?
5 was the one with Tommy Guns where they fought in the streets.
Oh yeah, see I've like seen bits and pieces of the original Rockies and I saw that all of the rebooted sequel, whatever. For some reason, I don't even like boxing that much.
And to me, that's always been the curious things about the Rocky films. And you know, it's a good sports movie or a good sports property. I think is something you can enjoy without necessarily enjoying the sport.
Yeah,
I've always say I love the league as a TV show, and I don't necessarily care for fantasy football, but they make it interesting enough for me to be engaged in what they're doing.
Yeah, that's actually true. There's the series on HBO now, Ballers, that does the same thing with football.
Yeah, I don't necessarily care about football drama, but, I mean, it's basically Entourage for football, but...
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, it makes it intriguing. And Rocky's the same way, because if you watch any of these movies, almost, I would say, 90% of the movie has nothing to do with boxing, in the sense that it's not like him boxing, like he trains and stuff like that. But it is a character drama. It's about this character and him just trying to find self-worth. Him trying to adapt to being a father, him trying to seek revenge and redemption and all that other stuff. So it's smart in that sense. And I mentioned before that he's reprising this role a second time. This year, Creed comes out, which sees Rocky training Apollo Creed, which is his nemesis in the first two films, and then his friend in the third and fourth film, son, to become a boxer. And I think this is a nice way to kind of do a sequel, and I don't know many examples where you kind of come full circle where like the original character kind of become it literally passes the guard onto a new generation.
I'm sure there's other movies that have done that. I'm trying to think of one. Oh, I guess Star Trek kind of does that. We haven't talked about Star Trek, even though it's been on the list this episode or last.
We'll get to it. I said last episode we mostly did the ones from this year.
Bum, bum, bum. It reminded me because they kind of did a similar thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll get to that, even though Star Trek is a whole different beast in so many ways.
Yeah, it's basically exactly what I just said, them passing the torch, but also at the same time not... It's weird. It's actually kind of cool how it's done.
Yeah, because I mean, technically they were passing the torch, but they were basically they hit them in the dark while they were going into the cave because the Star Trek films were going on. I guess we might as well talk about this now. Okay, so just to kind of explain this, Star Trek was originally a 60s TV show that lasted a few seasons and got canceled. It was doing well in syndication, I don't know the exact story, I'm not a huge Star Trek fan. It was doing well enough in syndication that decided to make a movie off of it, just to kind of give people closure. Mm-hmm. The movie ended up doing really well, so they continued to make more movies. And they wanted to bring Star Trek back to the small screen, but the characters were movie stars at that point. So they made Star Trek The Next Generation, which featured a whole new generation of people. And this was going on concurrently with the movie franchise, which starred the old characters of the film. And at some point, they realized, like, maybe people want to see the new characters in film. So they had a crossover event film, which was the passing of the guard, passing of the torch, as Dan said. But, yes, to kind of go back to the original point, yes, this is one of those examples. A very rare example, we mentioned Mission Impossible last episode, a very rare example, though, of a property crossing mediums to continue. It went from a TV show to a movie, and unlike Mission Impossible, where, like, Mission Impossible, it's a sequel because all the Mission Impossible films are sequels to each other, but, like, once you go past the first one, it doesn't really matter if you've seen the TV show or not.
Pretty much, yeah.
With Star Trek, The Wrath of Khan is a character from like a single episode in the original TV run, who became this big bad.
I've always thought that the more I learned about Star Trek, I was always a Star Wars fan growing up, so I was always confused about like what was the appeal of Star Trek, and I never really wanted to understand it because I like Star Wars so much. But like you said, it's kind of weird because Star Trek was kind of its own like almost hokey sort of thing in a similar way to like Firefly, where it was like its own thing and it was cool and it maybe had this cool universe, but something happened, you know, somewhere along the lines where it just stopped. And that's just how it happens with TV shows. But the series and universe was so well liked that somehow it became this huge, big thing. I think originally they just didn't intend for that or expect that to happen, I guess.
No, and sometimes that's it happens for the best. Like, you don't expect something to take off. Like, again, the show did okay in ratings, but it was canceled. And this movie was, like, 20-some-odd years later, or maybe 15, I forget exactly. And it did well. And they made a second one, which is even better. And it's kind of been the way, because even when the Next Generation started doing movies, then they had Enterprise, or whatever the next one was called. And that eventually had a crossover movie.
I don't know that much about the in-between the original series and, like, now, to be honest.
I know
that the Wheaton happened.
I know enough because, I'm not necessarily complaining, but I'll mention some of these. But a lot of these retro revivals actually got me into some of these franchises.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I saw the Die Hard films was because Zero Hour Die Hard was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I've never seen these, but this looks interesting. So I went and I watched those first three. And I like two of them. I love two of them. And the second one exists. I grew up on the Rocky films. So I've always seen those. But kind of jumping back to what we were talking about before, another film that is, I think the psych is being generous, but was another revival for a character, was Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Hmm.
Which I think was, again, jumping like 20 years in between, it was about 20 years or so in between Crystal Skull and The Last Crusade. And I don't think Harrison Ford was necessarily hard up for money. Harrison Ford is one of those Teflon characters. Most of his films have been hits. He's had a few stinkers in between there, but, I mean, when you have Star Wars, you have Indiana Jones, you've done stuff like Air Force One and The Fugitive. You kind of build up this reputation. But he
he's got a lot more good movies and series under his belt than bad ones, by far.
Yeah, but he did hit a streak, you know, like Firewall. I don't think people remember that. K-19.
Nope.
What Lies Beneath, Random Heart, Hollywood Homicide. Yeah.
These are all lost on.
Yeah, and it would continue after Indiana Jones, Cowboys and Aliens. I don't know if anybody remembers that one.
The what?
I didn't actually see it.
Yeah.
Cowboys and Aliens, did you say?
Yeah.
Ah, Daniel Craig's shining role.
Yeah, I will just share this much. I was super excited for that movie when it was announced. I mean, it's Cowboys and Aliens. And it had James Bond and Indiana Jones teaming up again. We haven't seen that since The Last Crusade. And it was utterly, utterly disappointing when I actually saw that movie. I think because they took themselves way too seriously. I was expecting a really fun, goofy adventure movie. Because, again, it's cowboys and aliens. How the hell do cowboys fight aliens and make any sense? But, yeah, that's neither here nor there. But yes, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I don't hate this movie as much as most people do. And, because it's one of those things where I think people have a beef with it and they don't know how to express it. So they always say, oh, this is stupid and that is stupid. And you watch it out of the Indiana Jones films, and it's like, I don't see how this is any more stupid or unbelievable than that stuff. Like, people talk about the fridge nuke.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, but how is that any different than him jumping out of an airplane on an inflatable raft in the oven?
Yep. I agree. I was going to say that I don't really like the fridge scene, but it's like, I don't hate the movie because of the fridge scene.
Yeah,
I just think it's a little hokey.
Like aliens. Like, yes, it's aliens is weird because the Covenant is fine and the Holy Grail is okay, but aliens, whoa. Let's not get strange here.
Yeah.
And again, I can understand if you hate Shia LaBeouf, which I don't hate Shia LaBeouf either.
I think people hated him and now they're loving him again.
Because he's gone crazy. Everybody's loved the great disaster story, which is sad.
YouTube thing that's going on with him right now.
You mean an awesome YouTube thing? Plus the little rat tail ponytail thing.
Come on!
Oh, it was funny at first, but it's getting annoying, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Like all things on the internet.
Yep.
Like all things on the internet. I think those were the mid-2000s ones. I could be mistaken. There might have been some others, but those are the big ones from these actors who kind of wanted to go back to their iconic roles. One that wasn't necessarily... it's a very niche property. I still think it is, even though I enjoyed the first one. But at some point, Disney decided, let's make another Tron movie.
Yo, I love Tron, and it's not all because of the aesthetic. But a big part of it's because of the aesthetic. But I love Tron so much. Like, so much. I just want to put it out there.
Well,
the universe is so cool.
The world building is
awesome.
This is what I've said. I wish that Tron 1 had Tron 2's technology, or that Tron 2 had Tron 1's story. Because they're both half good movies to me.
I can see that for sure. I definitely agree with what you mean. I accept Tron 1 for being super hokey, though, at the same time, especially visually, like you said, and I accept that 2 is not the perfect movie. It's just really cool, but I also am not one to be like, if I enjoy a movie for like one particular reason, I'll say that I enjoyed it. I won't.
Oh, no, I
hold
Tron.
No reservations.
I like Tron, but I'm like, it does not hold up well visually.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh man, imagine if somebody just had Tron with 2's CGI, and it was like, this would have been the perfect movie between the two of them.
Yeah.
Because 2 is really pretty, but the story's so stupid.
Yeah.
And Sagitron cartoon was canceled or whatever.
And that was kind of interesting too, but, you know, sadly.
Yeah, Disney XD hasn't really been able to get many hits out there.
That's one example of, you know, Disney actually not being a good thing for you. You'd think that Disney would keep you afloat if you're something like Tron and you're kind of struggling to get back in there, but nah.
I feel like Disney is one of those companies that is really quick to cut you loose if you're not performing well.
Mm-hmm.
Like John Carter.
That's very true. But that was like an even bigger landslide loss than like anything Tron could achieve. Not that Tron was like a huge loss.
Yeah.
The actual numbers for John Carter were like astounding. I can't actually remember what they were.
Yeah, I know. It was a huge, 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 huge bust for them. Prince of Persia is another one that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, they're good when you're doing well, but they seem like the type of company that you don't get a second chance with Disney. You fail and you're done. You're out there.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, we talked last week about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I still want to ask you what you think about that after the show, but, you know, that's its own thing.
Yeah. What else do we have on this list?
For movies, I thought it would be an appropriate time to put in Aliens as another movie one, because it kind of is, like, the same vein as, like,
Terminator.
Indiana Jones and Terminator, like, that era sort of thing.
Yeah. That's a good one.
But also, there was, like, a weird thing with Alien where they did not a sequel, but a prequel so far afterwards with Prometheus. But, I don't know, Prometheus is such a weird movie because some people love it, some people hate it, and some people don't know what to think about it. And I don't know where I'm in those three groups either. I think I'm in the middle. But I think I've also been in each side also simultaneously.
I've not seen Prometheus yet. But, I mean, even more so than Prometheus, I mean, if you look at the franchise, the first and second film have a 7-year gap.
Mm-hmm.
The second and third have a 6-year gap. And then the third and fourth has a 5-year gap.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those franchises that wasn't done that often. And then if you count stuff like Aliens vs. Predator, which I'm sure most people don't, as anything more than glorified fan fiction.
Probably some people do, I'm sure. And that actually brings up an interesting point. Why has Aliens been so redone and so intertwined with Predators? But Predators, I'm surprised, as not being such a pride of the 80s.
Yes, Predators is an odd one because it's so, especially if you watch the first film and watch the other two.
Yeah.
I don't even know if people count Predators.
I don't know either. I just like the first one.
I like Predators. I think it's different, but I think the first one is, even though it's called Predator, it's so much about the human. It's an Arnold Schwarzenegger vehicle, and what they've done is, like, since then, it's become about the Predator, and it's kind of like a horror film, where it's like, you cheer for the villain, because you want to see him kill off these people. Like, why can't he get Danny Glover?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, it's like, it I think, evolved just as well as Aliens did. Or Alien, the franchise, did. Alien, the first one, was a horror movie. I think it slowly turned into an action movie, to be honest. It lost a lot of horror element when you had more than one, or when you had them fighting back and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, that's why I compared it to Terminator, because I think Alien and Terminator are both very horror-esque. And then, for better, I think, they make the ass girl to kind of still a horror movie cliche into this badass warrior for the second one. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, it makes it better, but they don't know what to do with the third one beyond that.
Yeah, they don't know what to do with the genre, really.
Because, yeah, what do you do once they're not afraid of the bad guy? And what horror movies usually do, which I hate, is they just kill them off. Because it's like, oh, we'll just cut them off in the cheap way in the next film to show you that we really mean business this time.
Yeah. I think it's I think Jurassic World, we talked about last episode pretty early on. I think that's going to suffer the same thing in the next one. You know, the first one served its purpose. You could argue the second, maybe the third one served their own purpose. Jurassic World serves its own purpose. What are they going to do after this? What are they going to call it? What genre would you call it? Or Jurassic Park and Jurassic World? And what are you going to call? But what are you going to call the next one after this?
Yeah,
is it going to be half of the movie is going to be you being in awe of the dinosaurs, and then the next half is? It's just it running from you, or you running from it? Oh, switch the roles around.
And I think, and to kind of to your point, I think it's the same thing where Chris Pratt's character, spoilers for Jurassic World, pretty much starts, he's a dinosaur's whisperer at the end of this film. Like, what are you going to do with, like, you put him in a new environment where he, you know, he's on his own, but it's like, yeah, okay, he's not afraid of them because he can talk to them and he can get T-Rex to fight on his side. I did say,
yeah, but that's so cliche. Also, it's like, if they do that for the next movie, I'll, like, lose faith in it because it's like, that's so dumb. It's like, oh, you know, he was so cool in the first one. In the next one, he's all on his own with different raptors. It's like, okay, could you think of anything less creative?
It's Hollywood. You can always think of something that's creative.
I guess.
This one is like literally right on the cusp of our 6-year gap, and I don't even know, it's not even a huge major franchise for a lot of people, but Lethal Weapon 4 came out 6 years after Lethal Weapon 3. I assume a lot of people are just really on the tip of their tongues with the Lethal Weapon movies right now. Nobody? Okay.
Me too.
Yeah. And I guess to the same point, since nobody actually cares for buddy cop films with me, Rush Hour 3 was also 6 years in between.
I was going to say Rush Hour is probably the similar gap, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I feel like, I like the dynamics between the characters, but yeah, I understand, like, by the time you come back, it's like, yeah, whatever. We didn't miss you. It's nice that you're back, but it's not like we were begging. Oh, this is a weird one, but American Reunion.
Is that like American Werewolf in London? For some reason, that's what I thought of when I heard that.
No, it's American Pie. It's the American Pie. It's the official American Pie sequel.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I say that is because there was American Pie became a brand. So, like, they did American Pie, American Pie 2, American Wedding. And that the last one was in 2003. But in between there, they had American Pie films. And those were in continuity, but it didn't have many of the characters from the actual movies in them. And then they did American Reunion, which is like, we'll ignore all of those. It's kind of like National Lampoon, where National Lampoon became a brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, American Wedding was nice for me, in the sense that we mentioned before with Terminator, which is what we're going back to, I guess, how that has a finite amount of time, and you can't really update the timeline too much. Where American Wedding was the other way, in that it had a real time clock, and the characters age appropriately. We met them in high school, they went to college, they got married. We'll come back 10 years later for their 10-year anniversary. They're married, they have kids, people are divorced, people are going through rough patches. It's kind of a realistic timeline of these character size. What people would actually go through in between these movies is what happened to these characters. And revisit them at a time later on in the timeline.
Kind of like Fast and Furious in that way. You know, everyone gets a family, then they die in real life, and then they die in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. Are there any more movies that we have to talk about?
I was going to say, the Evil Dead, I don't know that much about the series, but is that similar or no? Is it a reboot, the new one, or no? Isn't there a TV series being made about it?
Yeah, there is a TV series, which I understand is I forget if it's a sequel or like an alternate timeline or something weird like that.
Yeah, I didn't know either, because I don't watch the series, but I just know it happened, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's a really long... That's one of those series that has gotten a lot of... it's been around and talked about, but like I don't know if it's an actual full sequel. I don't know that much. I don't know enough about the series.
Okay, so just to kind of wrap it up, as we did last time, we're just going to do games. And these are not necessarily, they're not the most famous or infamous ones like we did. These are just kind of ones.
Actually, I can segue into games, but I was going to mention one other thing. Did you guys see the new Fright Night movie from 4 years ago? The newest?
Yes, with Colin Farrell, right?
Haven't.
Yeah, was that... Did you guys see the original Fright Night 2? I'm pretty sure that was a sequel as well, in a loose sense.
I thought it was a reboot.
I think it was like, I don't, actually, never mind. I'll talk about it afterwards. I thought it was when I first saw it because, what's his name, David Tennant's character, was referenced as being, as like, it was actually, now that I look at the casting, it was, David Tennant's character was this older guy, and he knew how to fight off vampires, and it was like, he supposedly was, you know, just all for show, but it turned out that later on that he knew the vampire from Fright Night in the past, and that's a reference to the same character but the same name from the original Fright Night. So they kind of bridged the gap by saying this unrelated side character survived and now is like one of the main characters who helps defeat the vampire, which is the same one in the later one, 30 years later.
Interesting.
So I thought that was an interesting way to do it, too, kind of reference it, but not, like, make it so integrated into the story. It's kind of like a cool nod.
It works for me.
I think horror movies do that sort of stuff a lot. We've talked about a lot of horror movie examples, I think, at least.
Yeah, but I also feel like horror movies... Like, horror movies are so weird. Because, like, take Halloween H2O, for example. Yeah. That's a sequel to 1 and 2... which, if we were going by that, would be a huge gap.
Yeah.
Except there's a bunch of films in between there where they decide to throw out the continuity and stuff like that.
Isn't that the same thing with Friday the 13th and the Freddy series also, or the Jason stuff?
But, well, no, those have straight continuities. They just kind of mix and they decide what sticks and what doesn't at the start of the next movie. Like,
got it.
Yeah, this guy died. Not really. He can survive that. I think they're going to do something funky with Friday the 13th, I think, because, is it Friday the 13th? Or Halloween? It might be Halloween, which is already funky, because they made the remakes with Rob Zombie, and I think they're going to make a new one, which is a sequel to, like, H2O, and it's like, yeah, whatever, stop.
Oh, weird. That's just too much. Horror movies are too much for me, because they rest on the laurels of the one success, and then they just keep doing over and over, because horror movies fans are such junkies.
Yeah, and it's hard, and I've said this, sometimes I think people don't understand what works, and they're just like, we'll make the same movie over and over again because we don't want to alienate our audience. But you notice, like, a lot of these franchises tend to bottom out because they don't know how to evolve the formula or bring in a new audience.
Basically, I agree with that very much, that, you know, they just don't know what to do with it. So they're just like, oh, let's just keep doing it, because people will see it. People still keep seeing it. Even if it's not rated well, they just will keep doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. But, like, related to games, though, it reminded me of the game series Splatterhouse, which I know was not that widely known or lauded or whatever. But that... Yeah, but, yeah, anything, but it's like, it kind of is in a way, it's like a nostalgic game that it's known, if you ask anyone who's from that era, they'll be like, yo, Splatterhouse, I know Splatterhouse, I'm not from that era, so I won't say that, but it was a beat-em-up in the 80s, the late 80s, and then it had a game in 2010, and that just reminded me because it was very similar to the horror movies we were just talking so much about, so that was kind of weird.
Okay.
I just had that thought, I'm sorry, it's just kind of weird.
It segued into games, like you said. And that's one of them. And then there was, you know, there was a string of them, for better, I think, for the most part. I mean, we went through an era of some really stinky game sequels, like Bomberman Zero, and Bionic Commando, Rearmed, or whatever that was called.
Yeah.
But then you got stuff like XCOM, The Enemy Within.
Oh, yeah.
That was a really good one people loved. And then people were super happy when they announced a sequel to that and making the PC only. Deus Ex is another one that had a huge layover in between sequels.
And Deus Ex is one that has like a massive fan base, similar to some of the other examples on this list in games, that has like a giant fan base from the original series and a giant one from the new one too, but not necessarily a lot of overlap. There's a lot of people, kind of similar to Fallout, who are like purists of the series, and then other people who just accept the new ones for what they are and don't like the old ones.
Yeah. This is... one of the things we talked about at the start of the show is, like, when a sequel goes a long time without being made, who are you making it for?
Yeah. And, like, in the example of Deus Ex, they didn't even change that much about them either, which is kind of what was weird about them, I guess. like for Fallout at least, you know, you change the genre to be more updated to modern norms. It's not isometric 3D and it's shooter. But like Deus Ex was a shooter and a shooter and it's always been a shooter. So it's kind of weird that they had such a gap and also that they, I don't know, that they changed so much about them between them.
Yeah, I mean, well, you want to change because technology changes and people's expectation changes. But I do think there's something like the original Deus Ex could have worked in this day and age. But people seem to adopt the new one, so it worked out for them. It only sucks when it doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, it's weird, though, that because they have such success with the original two, and then there's a long gap, and then they have such success with the reboot series, or, like, that's a prequel, actually, that they decide in the future titles they're going to keep with the reboot ones, and they're not going to do the original characters from 1 and 2. They kind of relegate those, and they're kind of like, all right, those happened, but they're in the future, so with our prequel movies or games, we can do, you know, all sorts of stuff before we have to rest on the laurels of the old Deus Ex.
Yeah, and kind of on the other end, where I say it's all you matters if you're good or bad, we had Thief 4, which for a lot of people was bad.
Yeah. And that's a sort of similar thing. It's not like they actually changed that much about them. I don't think, at least. I didn't play the original Thief games that much.
I didn't either, but I know a lot of people just talk about that. It doesn't seem like there's a ton change, but it seems like they changed a lot of little things that added up really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's always a problem with making a sequel, is that you don't want to change too much to alienate people, but you don't want to change too little where it's just like, what's the purpose of this?
Yeah.
I will hate on them as much as the next person, but I never begrudge making something like that. Sequels are really difficult because you walk this fine line between people wanting you to shake it up so much, but being exactly what they remember.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way to appease everybody. Like, people find ways to do it to a great effect, but, you know, they're still, oh, I like this better in 1, I can't believe they changed that in 2 or whatever, so it is what it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you folks want to... Okay. I was holding off on this one because it's such a weird franchise to talk about. But I guess it is similar in regards to Star Trek. Star Wars.
Yeah, that is a weird... We talked about this originally when we were making the list, too.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird because it does exist... It's very much so in, like, in both... Or in all three trilogies, really. The gap is real.
The gap is real, but I feel like, and I guess this has changed recently, but I feel like Star Wars, because they expanded the universe through so much, like, yeah, we weren't getting movies, but you were getting cartoons, you were getting video games, you were getting books, you were getting comics, and they were all, at the time, in continuity.
Yes, but at the same time, now they're not, so you can kind of negate
that.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. Like, I guess at this point it would be the movies, and if you would talk about the movies straight, there's a huge gap between the original trilogy and the new trilogy.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's a weird one to talk about because, like, it, like superhero movies that we talked about last episode, it is, like, so relevant and rooted in pop culture. Like, everybody knows certain, like, Darth Vader, obviously. Everybody knows, like, certain aspects of it so much and so vividly, but it's like, I don't think that it's ever forgotten, even if they aren't doing stuff about it, you know?
Yeah. And Disney's going to make sure that this isn't going to happen for quite some time for this new generation of fans.
Yep. So, but really, the new generation, they're just going to evolve and just pour down our throats and everything. They've already talked about spin-off games and series and...
Yeah.
Kind of gross.
So is there anything else you folks want to talk about?
I just came across a small list when I was curious if there was any that we missed. We actually missed kind of a lot, and in some cases, high-profile games that I just want to touch up on really quickly.
I'm sure we missed a ton of them in general. This was just so exactly off the top of our head.
But I'm just surprised at some of the ones we didn't talk about. Like, we haven't talked about any of Blizzard's games, and Blizzard is notorious, like Nintendo, for having massive gaps between their games.
Oh, yeah. As a big Blizzard fan, I know the struggle.
And I'm not. I've only recently gotten to Blizzard games, but, like, I understand the struggle as all my friends are Blizzard fans.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. StarCraft II was way too long in between.
It was, yeah, like, 12 years after the original release of StarCraft, not of Brood War. It was, like, 11 years after Brood War, I think.
It was pretty close to the same for Diablo 2 and 3 also. It was, like, a 12-year gap also. And they were and like so close to each other, too. It's weird because for Blizzard, what happened was they kind of had the similar thing to Star Wars, where not the Star Wars franchise was relevant, but things that were making them money were so relevant in Warcraft that they could hold off on Diablo and StarCraft for so long. Because now we have like a surge of Diablo games and expansion, or the game and expansion, and same for StarCraft 2 has all the expansions and stuff.
Yeah, Blizzard was lucky that it still had World of Warcraft to pull in quite a lot of money over those years when that was the only game that they had. And also, even in now, after 5 years after StarCraft II and Heart of the Swarm, its first expansion have been out, Brood War is still a pretty popular game, all things considered.
Yeah.
I know of a lot of people who they say they prefer that game over StarCraft II for many reasons.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to
why it's delayed.
Right, it's kind of similar to like Smash Bros series, which like Nintendo will never acknowledge, well they'll acknowledge that, but they'll never acknowledge like the success of Melee so much to the point where they'll like change up the next entry, but you know, Melee is still so popular and that's now 14 years old and there's, again, a lot of gaps between those games, too. We've only had two games in the 14 years.
I was about to say, we didn't mention that one, but Smash Bros. Is a pretty big example of that, because it's, what, 7 years in between Melee and Brawl?
Well, but I think Smash Bros., like other Nintendo titles, are also different, because Mario, if you want to argue, all the 3D Mario games happen once a generation as well, which is, again, like 7 years oftentimes.
Oh, half true. Galaxy 1 and 2 on the same system.
That's true, but I mean, between 64 and Sunshine, and then Sunshine and Galaxy. And
well,
then
64 and Sunshine is the only true gap, because there was no Mario game, well, new Mario games in that time, where, like, you can argue between, like, Sunshine and Galaxy, there was, like, new Super Mario Bros. DS and stuff like that. But yeah, between, well, I guess between Mario World and 64, and then 64 and Sunshine, there's a huge gap.
Well, that's what I mean, like, you can argue the gap either way, because there's a distinct, with the exception of Galaxy, one per console, just like there is for Zelda, but like there's still stuff going on other consoles, too.
Yeah.
And in those, it's also different, because technically they're not sequels, even.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're sequels, but yeah, they're not, like, it's kind of what we were talking about with Bond, where, like, yeah, it's Mario, and but it's not, like, you need to necessarily play any of these Mario games to understand that.
Right.
What else did you have on this list?
Just kind of, like, skimming through them. I guess the gap between Doom 2 and 3 was 10 years, which I didn't realize.
And Doom 4 is a bigger one, too, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Doom... Well, Doom 3 came out in 2004, so it's already 10-plus years.
7 years now.
Yeah. Max Payne was 9 years between 2 and 3. And that's... Like, 3 was wildly successful, too, but now they haven't shown plans of doing anything more with it. I guess Smash Bros. Was one that we talked about just now. Sin and Punishment was a weird one because that is a direct sequel as well. And that's something like that nobody really cared about between the original and Star Successor for Wii. It seems like that was almost entirely a passion project.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I assume it was a passion project because it was zero budget as well. So it's not like you was breaking the bank on it.
Yeah. Which, and related to that, I had another game that I just thought of. Oh, Punch-Out. That's a big one.
Oh, I forgot about, and I absolutely love Punch-Out Wii.
Yeah.
The only problem with that one, not necessarily, is that, again, it's one of those games that the core, like, the first thing pretty much is a straightforward recreation of Punch-Out.
Yeah.
And you add stuff once you go into championship mode, but yeah, it's pretty much like, yeah, punch out again, here you go.
Yeah, basically. And it's different because it's a different system altogether, like, the graphics only help so much, like, it's essentially, like you said, the same game, just with motion controls.
Yeah.
Which is kind
of... you don't even have to use, so...
Right, that too. Going back slightly to fighting games more, Street Fighter each of the gaps because of the because
those
of the fact,
do not count.
Yeah, because of the fact they have so many expansions. Technically, between titled releases, there's a huge gap.
No, that's cheating. I'm not counting that one.
I wouldn't either, but it's just worth noting that between base releases, there's a huge gap in them.
Oh, yeah, because if you think about it, we're on the fifth game in something like 25 years. So
yeah.
Just looking at it in that way, there's a huge gap. But when you think about Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 2 Championship Edition, Super Street Fighter, Turbo Edition, Street Fighter 3 had multiple editions, Street Fighter 4 had an Ultimate and a Super. Yeah, I'm not going to give
like,
them that.
In a way, you could also honestly argue a similar point for Pokemon, because there's only been 6 generations in the almost 20 years that it's happened, but the gaps between the games haven't been that intense. There's always Pokemon going on in the background.
This is the first year in some time where there isn't a new mainline Pokemon game coming out.
Yep, since 2008, it's the first year when we haven't had a mainline Pokemon game.
Mm.
So when you look at it that way, it's different, but at the same time, we've only had 6 technical, releases. I guess similar to Street Fighter, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 and 3 had a massive gap, but that one you can argue your point less because there are no expansions between 2 and 3.
Yeah. So, and, I mean, part of that is also licensing.
Yeah. Another big one that I was thinking of, Earthbound. Earthbound and Mother 3 have a massive gap of 12 years, but they're not also...
For some people.
They're technically not related, but at the same time they are.
And we don't have it, so, yeah.
That's true, too. So I guess that is true, too. those were some of the big ones that I think we glossed over.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So we'll be back next week for the third part of this trilogy where we talk about... No, we're not going to do this again. it was fun to talk about. It was an interesting topic, and it's something you don't think about. It was just, like we mentioned at the start of the last week's show, I guess, it was just one of those things that just kind of hit you all at once this summer.
Yeah.
Because I guess we just thought about it at the right time. Because if you had asked me this around Mad Max, I wouldn't have thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like Mad Max, Jurassic World, Terminator Genesis, Mission Impossible, the Shenmue 3 Kickstarter, all kind of being within a 2-month period of each other.
If you want to say Shenmue, you could also say The Last Guardian, if that's even considered a
sequel. Well, at this point, it's a sequel to itself.
Yeah.
It's a sequel to The Reveal.
Kingdom Hearts, even?
Kingdom Hearts, we're not even getting into the continuity with that one.
Right.
We're on Kingdom Hearts 3, and this is like the 7th game in the series.
Right? It's like Assassin's Creed in that sense.
and you talk about... Then there's others that may not never see the light of day. Like Microsoft announced Phantom Dust.
Yeah.
And Sony had Shadow of the Beast at one point. Star Fox is coming back after... 2004? 2005?
Yeah, since it's a different release. I mean... Command happened, in 2005?
Yeah, and even if you want to go back before that, Armada was in, 2002? 2003?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's another one that's kind of a huge revival this year. Or sequel. According to Nintendo, it's not a sequel, it's not a remake, it's not a reboot.
But you can't... For all Nintendo games, that applies, though, mostly, so...
Yeah, it's whatever. But yeah, it was fun, and since we got 2 episodes in, we're going to take off the rest of the summer. We'll see you this fall.
See you guys in 2016, everybody.
Woo!
Yeah.
So I want to thank Dan and Scott once again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you can find us on the web at nerdsontherocks.com. You can also find us at Twitter at nerdsontherocks and Facebook with the same thing. We are trying to be more proactive at actually posting on these social media channels, but, promises and all that other stuff. As always, check out our weekly polls, any new reviews, our 151 proof movies, which goes up most Fridays, this podcast, which goes up sometime during the week, the other one, Dual Wielding, which should be on alternating schedules. We'll see how that works out. Anything you two want to plug before we go?
Myself, I'm a cool person.
He's a cool person. And if you want to follow any of us on Twitter, It's Scott_@_Knight.
That's me, yeah.
Because he can't make it any more difficult to remember how many underscores he has. Just throw an underscore
it's
right
only
at the
two
end.
Two underscores.
Which is more than most people.
I didn't think it through, okay?
You can still change it.
That's too far.
You also
yeah,
use up
it
most
now.
You also use up most of the character space.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. Who even are you? Let's just criticize your name all night. New episode.
You can find Dan at the Dan Affair. And just to make me a hypocrite, I'm going to explain that I also have an underscore. And it's ER_NOTR.
Yours is more confusing.
Mine is?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. I realized that when somebody who's been following me for several years finally realized what my name meant.
Yeah.
And I always thought it's pretty straightforward. But
it is if you know who you are, but at the same time it's not because it's just letters when you're looking at it.
Yeah, yeah, it is, but it has a meaning,
yeah.
A very specific meaning, which yeah. is very easy to guess if it isn't into Nerds on the Rocks.
Right.
So, yes, we'll be back some other time. Have a good night, or good morning, or good afternoon. I don't know what time you're listening to this.
The future of podcasts.